Now, for the rest of this hour, we're going to be talking feet with our podiatrist, Emma Worthington, who's on the line now. Kia ora, Emma. Welcome back to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Thank you.
Thanks to have you back on. Now, what got you thinking about this week's topic, which is the feet of children and the winter sports season?
Yeah, we've just had a huge surge in children who have, embarked on winter sport again. And after a few weeks of training, have begun to have some pain in their feet. So we've had a real spike in particularly heel pain in children. And so I thought it would be a timely, discussion to have and to mainly educate people and talk about how we can help our children prevent getting these pain issues.
Does this happen every autumn?
It does, yeah. So every time we start in team field sport, it seems to be the season. So soccer, rugby, hockey, and there's a variety of different reasons for that. One is the unevenness of the ground and the softness of the ground, but also going into shoes which, are sport specific for a reason, but not very well thought through when it comes to cushioning and support of the foot. You know, you can't really walk very well in a rugby or a football boot, let alone run.
And that's what you're expected to do, because if you don't run in football or rugby, they're going to run past you pretty quick.
Exactly.
What kind of problems are people presenting you with?
So the most common one at the moment, and what I really wanted to touch on today is, in particular today, we're talking about children. So the most common one is heel pain. And in particular, there's a syndrome of the heel or a disease of the heel called Sever's heel. And there'll be many listeners going, oh yes, I know what that is, and my son or my daughter has had that, or I've had that. But there'll be many, many people that will think, what on earth is that, and never heard of it before. It's one of those things that you really only hear about if you've had it or you know someone that has had it. It is an irritation to the growth plate of the heel. Now, every bone in a growing body, so in a child's body up to their mid to late teens, has a growth plate, which is essentially a floating plate that provides the bone with some growth cells. And until the bone is fully grown, the plate sits independent of that bone and provides it with these growing cells. And then through mid to late teens, it will attach itself onto the bone and become a fully a full skeletal structure. But until that time, because it is floating around, you can get the irritation from tendons, and the most common tendon to pull on a growth plate is the Achilles tendon, or that I see. So the Achilles tendon can become aggravated if you've been sedentary over summer, or perhaps in jandals and not really wearing shoes a lot. You go and do the sudden burst of exercise, and you may have had a growth spurt through that time as well. And the tension on that growth plate from the pull from the Achilles tendon can be very irritating and painful.
And the Achilles tendon, what is that tendon at the back of the foot that joins, that connects with the bottom of your the leg muscles?
So, yeah, it connects the back of the heel bone, so the calcaneus, the heel bone, and it goes through the back of your muscle, the calf muscle, and it attaches into, inserts into the calf muscle. So the calf muscle and the Achilles are very related to each other, as is the ankle joint, so the pivot of the ankle joint. And so for that reason, if someone has Sever's heel, the calf muscles become a very important muscle to be stretched and warmed up really well.
And the Sever's heel, what the tendon, the Achilles tendon, pulls on the plate that the heel is forming on as the child grows. Because this, so from what you're saying, Emma, this is something you expect to see more in children and teenagers than in adults?
Yes. So by the time the growth plate is adhered onto the actual bone, growth plate injuries are a thing of the past, so you don't have to worry about them anymore. So yes, they occur more commonly in kind of 9 to 12, 13-year-old boys. We do see them outside of that range, but yeah, kind of 9 to 14. And in girls a little bit younger, that range is a little bit younger. So by the time your bones are fused, you're not bothered with any sort of these growth plate injuries.
Is it something that's more likely in a child that's growing rapidly, having a growth spurt, as you said?
So the growth spurt really does need to be combined with some sort of overload of the tendon. So typically we're talking about kids who are active. So it can occur in, you know, we see severs heal in amateur players, and we also see it in rep sports people, representative players. So it's not something that is that you would typically find in someone who is inactive. So as well as them growing, they do need to have the activity associated with that.
Can you reduce the risk of it by warming up and stretching before you do your exercise?
Well, I'm very pleased to see that my boys belong to the local hockey club in Lower Hutt here, and I'm just so heartened to see that we are taking our warm-ups very seriously, and it's through nothing that I've suggested at all. It's just been that seems to be part and parcel of, you know, of playing the game, playing the team sport, is that we do two laps around the field and then we do all these fantastic stretches. And I see the coaches talking to the kids about what muscles they're stretching and why they're stretching them. So I'm really heartened by that. I hope that is, you know, sport wide. I do hope that there are some good stretching regimes that that the kids are being shown to do, because going forward into adulthood, we know that is a very good discipline for prevention of injury. So yes, stretching can be very helpful, and an adequate warm up as well.
But if your child starts to get sore feet, now tell me again, what are they going to be complaining of? What are you going to notice? What are they going to tell you as a parent or a guardian? What are you going to notice as a parent or a guardian?
Yeah, probably the first thing that you're going to notice is that the child kind of might do a bit of a sub in the game, or perhaps it's after the game, and they're kind of shuffling along on their gait. They find it really hard to propel, you know, to walk properly. They're kind of shuffling. They might get to a stage where they walk on their tiptoes to ease the load off the Achilles and off that growth plate, and walking on tiptoes seems to do that. So that's one of the most common presentations that I see in my clinic, is the parent will say, or guardian would say, oh, they've been walking on their, you know, tiptoes for about an hour after the game. And often that will then be associated with pain in the back of the heel. So we would feel that growth plate and it would be painful or perhaps even inflamed. So, and then associated Achilles and calf tightness as well. So they're the kind of common things that parents would note, is that limping kind of shuffling gait.
What can you do about it?
Yeah, so this is, I guess it's a bit of a minefield for parents, because you go online and there's so many options, you know, of what to do. So I'm going to talk about specifically what podiatrists would do. We have really successful outcomes with severs, which is so great. There is nothing I love more than a child coming back, a really active child who's been forced to be in pain or rest, and coming into me 4 weeks after I've seen them and saying, I can play sport again. And it's really heartening. It's fantastic. And so we have some really good outcomes. So what we would normally do when you come in to visit a podiatrist is we'd watch you walking and running and assess whether we think an orthotic might be helpful for you. And the orthotic would be a fairly a prefabricated kind of off-the-shelf type of orthotic, one that we would use as we expect that the inflammation will settle in a short period of time. So nothing too major in a growing foot. The orthotic helps to align the foot, so to reduce the loading on the Achilles. And also accompanied with that, we'd look to put some heel raises in the shoe or on the orthotic to reduce the tension off the Achilles.
So what's the difference, sorry Emma, what's the difference between a heel raiser and an orthotic?
So an orthotic is more working with your arch and the level of flattening or heightening that you have of your arch, where the heel raise is working to directly elevate the Achilles and stop it from overstretching.
Would you stick that on the heel of the shoe or inside the shoe, the heel raiser?
Well, it depends if the person is wearing a consistent pair of shoes, and usually we'd stick them on the outside of the orthotic, because then it makes the orthotic and the heel raise transferables from shoe to shoe, so they can put them in their sports shoes, and if they're running they can put them in their football boots. So we would normally, for this particular situation, put the heel raiser on the base of the orthotic. We might recommend, sorry, where you go?
No, carry on. No, you answer.
Righty-ho. We may recommend a change in footwear. And this might be that we give you some advice around a sport-specific type of footwear. And because there are now rugby and football boots that are being designed and made that have a slight heel raise built into the sole of the rugby boot, where often they were just a flat plastic sole. And now we have access to some that have what we call a midsole in them. So it gives it a little bit of cushioning and some elevation. So we might recommend some sport-specific footwear. And we might also recommend some everyday footwear with extra cushioning and support if that's not already being done.
Got a couple of comments here, which I'd like you to run past you. Well, actually, one's a question. Are secondhand shoes okay?
Well, it's an interesting one because, for example, in this situation, a secondhand shoe probably wouldn't be okay because you've got a symptom, you've got pain, and you really want to treat it. And as part of the treatment for Seva's footwear is really crucial. So in this particular situation, I wouldn't recommend, if there were any symptoms or any history of any foot pathology at all, I probably wouldn't recommend a secondhand shoe. But let's be honest, when you've got a growing foot and you've got siblings and you want to be able to pass down the shoes, and if their feet are fairly similar and you're happy with the shoe, the wear on the shoe is quite limited, then yes, absolutely, you can go for a secondhand shoe.
Here's a comment from a listener. Boots with sprigs are just stupid on hard grounds at this time of year.
That listener is not wrong. I entirely agree. Fortunately, we've got those kind of hybrid ones now with the lower plastic cleats that you can put in, or going for, when the ground's a bit harder, going for a touch shoe, a touch rugby shoe, can be quite helpful because you don't really need the metal sprigs on just at the moment. So,
well, why are boots with sprigs bad news for feet on a hard ground? Okay, I guess one thing is you don't need them so much on a hard ground, but, you know, in cricket they still have, a lot of cricketers have sprigs on their shoes too, so they don't slide around when they're running between wickets.
Yeah, so they more have the plastic cleats and the ones that are similar to a touch rugby shoe. So, you know, that these are summer sports that are designed with really, really good you know, cleating systems, but with the rugby boots, they're designed with the long metal cleats to, you know, give into the soft ground. And so it essentially creates a bit of cushioning when you're pushing into the softness of the field. But when you don't have that, it's just really, really hard to walk on. There's no cushioning whatsoever.
Now, I've got a question here from a listener. Hi, Brian, refeet. My son, who is 10, has had deep cracks on heels since about 4 years of age. GP has tried steroid, antifungal, and only Rhea 10% cream helps, but not completely. Cracks come via socks / shoes or sandals, both summer or winter. He walks on his heels now and noticed recently couldn't touch his toes. He is fit and active, so hard to help him. Any insight?
This is a really challenging one. I have to say it's a rarity. If this presented to me in my clinic, I would probably, because it's very hard on the radio, you can't, you know, see the person's foot and the extent of what it is. But I would be probably going to a dermatologist and just seeing if there's any underlying causative factor here. So there are some skin conditions and other things that can cause thickness of skin on the heels. Some of them are genetic. But I think that I would be recommending that you continue to use the urea cream daily, but that you actually seek to find out, you know, what the causative factor is. And dermatologists can be very insightful with this type of thing. So that's what I would recommend at this point.
I see the texter actually sent another message a little while later. Addendum, I see it as more about muscles. My son has a little toe walking because of heel crack. He can't touch his toes easily. He's playing cricket, hockey, and he's swimming.
Yes, I took that as toe walking, not heel walking. Yep.
So do you think the sports might be an issue there?
Yeah, it's possible. It's very hard to say without either seeing a picture or perhaps even seeing him in person. And I'm happy to have a further chat to that listener. It could be musculature. You know, tight muscles at the back of the leg. And, you know, if that is the case, physiotherapy or some level of podiatry could be very helpful. So, yeah, it's worth us having a conversation.
Emma, another text just came through. At what age should you sort out a child's in-toeing?
So in-toeing really should be resolved by about 4 to 5. If it isn't, we do have fantastic outcomes with in-toeing.
Very briefly, usually, Emma, what is in-toeing? What is it?
So it's where the feet actually turn inwards from the ankles. So you're, rather than your feet being straight and walking in a straight line, you're actually turning your feet in, and it can cause tripping and stumbling and just a very awkward gait.
And if they're over the age of 4 or 5 and they're in-toeing, what can you do about it?
Well, we can use a device in the shoe which encourages the foot to turn outwards. We can give some stretching and strengthening exercises, which are perhaps working with balancing the foot and the ankle and getting it turned out in a better position. We can use splinting in very severe cases, but mostly we don't need to do that. But we can have some very good outcomes with that too.
And Emma, very briefly, because I've only got about 90 seconds left now, any exercises or stretches? My 10-year-old has just been diagnosed with Sever's.
So if you pop onto my website, I have an information sheet on Sever's, and accompanied with that is 5 or 6 stretches that are very helpful for Sever's, working on your Achilles, your calf and your hamstrings, and also your hip flexors. So they're pictorial images that you can easily follow.
Emma, it's been great talking with you again. Thanks very much for joining us.
That's great. I didn't quite get to finish my treatments. If anyone is interested in that, they can drop me a line, and I'm really encouraged by picking up all the emails from last time and being able to return them and chat with some very lovely listeners. So thank you very much.
Can you sum up what's left in terms of the treatment in 30 seconds, Emma?
So, yeah, I was just going to suggest that you can take pain relief if necessary. And the most important thing I was going to say is that in my clinic, I really stress that we try not to rest people. We really keep them active, keep them enjoying sport, because the last thing we want to do is take the joy out of children. And they love sport. So we very much encourage trying to keep them active at the same time as treating them. And we have some fantastic outcomes in doing that.
Thanks so much, Emma.
We'll look forward to chatting next time.
Yes, we will. Emma Worthington, our podiatrist.